It's good to be back, and like I said, if I haven't had a chance to meet you, I'm Tim Harrison. I'm a discipleship counselor and life coach, and I have a ministry called Grace to Glory here in town, and I love hearing and seeing any kind of example about how Jesus brings wholeness to brokenness. And that's what I'm about. And before I kind of get started in our message, our passage this morning is Psalm 107, if you want to be looking at that. I want to give a quick commercial for something, an opportunity this next week. One of the things that I do is take three people at a time who are hungry for healing from brokenness and to know themselves as God sees them, and to be able to really embrace what Christ has accomplished for us on our behalf, to be able to walk on this side of the cross. And we do a 3-day intensive called The Ultimate Journey. And in that 3 days, we go through each person's whole life and process it in light of God's eyes, and process the reality of the cross, and experience forgiveness of others and forgiveness of ourselves, and learning how to embrace truth and renew our minds. So next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, I had a cancellation. We have people come from all over the country to experience this. My last group had somebody from California, but I'm only 7 miles down the road. So if someone here says, you know what, I think this is for me, I'd love for you to take those 3 days with us and to experience what really irreversible life change. Especially if you feel like you're stuck, kind of feeling a certain way about yourself, seeing yourself, or stuck in a certain habit or addiction, or just a certain way of just your pain, it'd be a great opportunity to do that. So talk with me afterwards if that's something that is interesting to you. You know, this morning I was thinking about how we're coming the week after of the resurrection. I kind of sense that y'all are still kind of high on the resurrection a little bit this morning. There was something lighter and freer and more joyful, you know, than any other time I've kind of been here. Just turned it up a notch. You're always been great to be with, but there was just something a little different. And this morning I was thinking about how, you know, it says in Philippians, Paul says that Jesus humbled himself even to death, even death on a cross. And I've always thought about that. Wow, he allowed himself to die. He really gave up his God card. But it kind of hit me differently this morning as I was thinking about that Jesus humbled himself to the point of being dead. I mean, not just dying, but being dead, where he could do nothing for himself, but God, Father, raised him from the dead. And he lived his whole life as a man, completely dependent on the Father for everything. And he never once doubted that his Father could be trusted. He never looked around to see, hey, am I doing a good job? Or ask any of those people he was doing miracles for, am I doing good? Do you think I'm all right? You know, he didn't have any kind of performance-based acceptance. He didn't ever struggle with his sin because he didn't have any. He was completely dependent on the Father, even to the point of death. He humbled himself. He didn't play the God card. And he showed us how we can live, that we can live and also trust this Father who loves us so much, that demonstrated his love for us, that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that we could have him provide for every one of our needs. And we wouldn't have to do things, manipulate things, and make life for ourselves. Jesus humbled himself. But you and I, we come into this world fallen. We come into this world seeking to be independent. I remember my middle son's first sentence, I think, was, I can do it by myself. You know, and that was kind of his trademark. And we kind of live with that. We kind of have that tendency to try to do things. We want to know that we can come through, that we got what it takes, that we did it, pull up ourselves by the bootstraps and self-made men and all these kinds of thoughts. But we're not created to live that way. We're created to live dependent on a God who just wanted to share life with us, who wanted us to experience life with him. But sometimes we don't humble ourselves. We have to be humbled. And there are things that happen to us. And I want to kind of share a story with you, probably one of the most humbling experiences of my life, if not the most. and I hope it doesn't mess up any upcoming beach trips for any of you, but it actually could serve to save your life. It's not a shark. It's not a shark story. But I got to have an opportunity a few years ago. I guess it's been a couple of years now. I was last minute recruit to go help with this youth camp happened down at Panama City. So we went down there. We got there mid afternoon, and we went straight to the beach, and the waves were great. We went out and had a great time. I loved body surf, and we had just a wonderful time out in the Gulf. Well, the next morning we get up, and the red flags are flying. Now, if you've ever been to the beach and you see the red flags, that means that there's what? Undertow, rip tides, not safe to get in the water. So we backed up. We didn't go in with the kids. We, you know, went into town and did some kind of tourist trap and did something else. So we're looking forward to the next day. The next day we wake up and red flags are flying again. Like, oh, no, we're here at the beach. We can't get in the water. We go find something else, some kind of putt-putt, you know, thing or whatever, some building that's upside down or something, you know, walk in. Third day, we go back out there, and the red flags are flying again. Now, I grew up thinking red flag means bigger waves. That's more fun, you know. And so we're all my guys don't want to go back into town or anything. I've got these eighth-grade boys. And all these guys, they don't want to go back in town. They want to go to the beach. And we're out there on the beach, and we're looking down the beach. And our camp directors wouldn't even let us get in the water at all, not even put your toes in. And we're looking down the beach, and all these people are having a good time down there, way down there. And so we decided we're just going to take a walk. And so we walk down as a group, and I've got, I guess, about five or six eighth-grade boys, another one of them in counselor chaperones, and we walk down and let's just step in a little bit, see how it feels. So, it's all right, guys. Just kind of wade in a little bit. Let's don't get too far out. So we get out there, and within about 30 seconds, I am feeling how strong that pull is, and I'm going, you know what, this really isn't safe. Let's go back in, guys. Come on back in. Well, everybody's trying to get back in. One of the kids is a really weak swimmer, and he's starting to panic because he's not making any progress. And here I am thinking, I let this kid in the water, and he's out there having trouble. I can't just leave him out there, but this is how it happens. You hear about, this is how you drown, helping somebody else. But I got to go out there. So I go out to him, and I'm trying to pull him, and within just a couple of seconds, I'm exhausted. I know that this is not going to work. So I go in plan B. Hey, do you know how to float? Just tread water and just relax. And he's going, I can't breathe. I can't breathe. And he has asthma. And this is not good. And I'm looking back, and we're getting farther and farther out. The people on the shore are getting smaller and smaller. I wish I would have been really calm and said, well, let's just pray about this right now. Let's just take a moment, and let's just give this over to the Lord. But the prayer was more like this. Help me, Jesus! Help me, Jesus! Help me, Jesus! And I wave to the shore. People who I can't recognize anymore. I'm like, we need help. And about that time, Jesus showed up, tattooed and riding on a wave runner, pulling a banana boat. And he said, you guys, hop on. And we were battling the waves and everything else. And I get him on, and then I get on, and he zips us on into shore. And I took that. I was sitting behind that guy, and I hugged his bare back, and I kissed the back of his bare back, and I said, "Thank you, you just saved our lives." And he goes, "Thanks, man." I don't know how uncomfortable that made him, but it just seemed appropriate in the moment. And I got off and went and we just kind of just took that kid. He's embarrassed. I'm just pretty shaken, and we walked down the beach, and we get back on the solid ground. And I walked to my room, and I tell you what, I paced this room, and that's like I went through a grieving of what almost happened, of what could have happened, and the fact that I would have been responsible for someone else by just giving them the opportunity to step foot into what was forbidden. And so we, of course, spiritualized things. We turned this into a great message that night about how sin you know, we're enticed in just to dip our toes in a little bit, and how it pulls us out farther than we want to go, and we have to have someone to rescue us in order to get out of what we have willingly walked into. But I will never forget just how absolutely helpless, how absolutely desperate I felt in that moment. And I could not do anything for myself or for this person except just to be there with them. And we had to be rescued. Well, in Psalm chapter 107, the 107th Psalm, there is this incredible... I came across it this week, and it was just new to me. No, not this week. It was actually last week. I came across this, and it just was new to me. And I just felt like this is what the Lord wanted me to bring. And I want us to read just through this in its entirety, and listen to what's covered in this one psalm. It says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He's good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this, those He redeemed from the hand of the foe, those He gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for men. For He satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Some sat in darkness in the deepest gloom, prisoners suffering in iron chains, for they had rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. So He subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the deepest gloom and broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for men. For He breaks down the gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them from their distress. He sent forth His word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for men. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of His works with songs of joy. Others went on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, His wonderful deeds in the deep. For He spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunken men. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and He guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for men. Let them exalt Him in the assembly of the people and praise Him in the council of the elders. He turned rivers into a desert, flowing springs into thirsty ground and fruitful land into a salt waste because of the wickedness of those who lived there. He turned the desert into pools of water and the parched ground into flowing springs. There He brought the hungry to live, and they founded a city where they could settle. They sowed fields and planted vineyards that yielded a fruitful harvest. He blessed them, and their numbers greatly increased. And He did not let their herds diminish. Then their numbers decreased, and they were humbled by oppression, calamity, and sorrow. He who pours contempt on nobles made them wander in a trackless waste. But he lifted the needy out of their affliction and increased their families like flocks. The upright see and rejoice, but all the wicked shut their mouths. Whoever is wise, let him heed these things and consider the great love of the Lord. Do I need to say anything else, or do we just close things out? And it's all there. All of our lives are just in this one chapter here. So we start out there in verse 1, and we're not going to go through every verse here, but we start out with this: give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. And that is important to note there, because that was the first thing that we were tempted there in the Garden of Eden when the enemy deceived us. He came at the very foundational thing, that God was good, that He could be trusted. The enemy said, you're not going to die if you eat this fruit. He's just holding out on you. You really want life, you really want where it's at, you need to take matters into your own hands. So even this, we give thanks to the Lord, for He's good and His love endures forever. This word endures, I want it to stand out to us this morning. Because do you ever feel like you put God's love to the test? Have you ever felt like, have I done it this time? Have I done it this time? Is this pushed it to the end? Is this battery going bad, you think? Or what's going on? It's okay? Okay. It's hissing on me. This love that endures, that it doesn't, it's not affected by our trusting and mistrusting, our obedience and sin, our successes and our failures. It endures, and how long? Forever. That's a really good word. It's a really good word, because everything in our lives we see is just temporal and having starts and finishes, and when is this going to end? When have I done too much? God is good and His love endures forever. We're told as redeemed people, especially now this side of the cross, who have put our faith in Jesus Christ, who have said, Lord, I need Your life to be my life, for Your righteousness to be my righteousness. I receive Your forgiveness. I come into Your resurrection and Your ascension. And I'm positioned in You. We're redeemed. We can cry out and say, thank You, Lord. You are good. But this describes four different kind of groups of people here. You've got the people who, in verse 4, who wandered in desert wastelands. Those who were unsettled.
I stop off, start over. So I went to the beach, and all right. So this picture of wandering in the desert wasteland, being hungry and thirsty, and feeling like your life is just ebbing away, this feeling of being unsettled. It's a picture of your peace being robbed. It's a picture of not knowing the direction of where to go, and where is it that I'm going to find life? Where is it that I'm going to find success? Where is it that I'm going to find what I think that I need? And hungry, thirsty, and even getting feeling like you're moving towards death. But they cry out to the Lord. They cry out to the Lord, and He delivers them, and He leads them to a place. And so we're saying, we're told to give thanks for His unfailing love. That He was there. He saw that. And He's waiting for us to come to Him with that need. Don't try to do it on your own anymore. Don't try to find your way. Find Me. Seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek me first. He says He satisfies the thirsty in verse 9. He fills the hungry with good things. You know, we have a definition of what's good. And we often find out that the things that we're so hungry for does not satisfy us. He fills us with things that satisfy, with good things. And we have another group here who are sitting in darkness and deepest gloom, prisoners. They have no freedom. It's been lost. It's been taken. And why? Because they had rebelled against the words of God. That means that they had heard the Word of God. That means that they had seen the Word of God. They had been told. They had been counseled. They knew better. We knew better. We rebelled against that. And out of that rebellion, we were locked down and into a place where we could not get ourselves out. We even had despised the counsel of the Most High. I don't want to hear that. So, says He subjected them to bitter labor. They're working hard, but there's just nothing in it, nothing good in it. They're working so hard. They stumbled, and they come to the end of themselves. It says there's no one to help. They come to themselves. If you ever work in any kind of recovery ministry where someone comes in and they may say that they're at their last, but if they got any cards that they can play, they'll play those cards until they get all of them played. They have nowhere else to go except to the Lord. Then He comes in and rescues them, and then they get the help that they need. This goes the same for all of us. We might not be at a point where we need to feel like we need to check in, but I think we would all benefit by just checking in and saying we're done, and we need the Lord to show us. So when they did, they cried out to the Lord in the trouble, and He saved them from their distress. The reason I titled this message "In the Nick of Time" is I was reading Eugene Peterson's translation of this, and every time it says He delivered them from their distress, he translates that as He saved them in the nick of time. He rescued them in the nick of time. It's at that last moment. So far we have these people who are feeling lost and unsettled and don't know where the life is, and we have folks who have rebelled and are stuck in this darkness. They can't see their way out of the situation. They're in deep gloom, prisoners. Now it says some become fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. This has taken things to a whole other level of living a life where you even are sick because of the life that you led, what you've done to your body. We're told that there's sin that leads to death. And there's affliction because of the choices that we make and the ways that we have used our temples and the things that we have done to our bodies, and here there's this picture of even loathing food, lost all appetite, and drawing near the gates of death. Still, in those moments, in that desperation, to cry out to the Lord in the trouble, and He saved them from their distress in the nick of time. He sent forth His word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. He preserves our life. It's important for all of you to know, and for me to know, that God has protected us thus far. We're still in the game. We're still here. We have not been taken out by the enemy who ultimately wants to take our lives, to obliterate us, to devour us, so that we have no capacity to bring glory to God. We're still here. He's protected us. He rescued them from the grave. Let's give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for men. Let's sacrifice with thank offerings. Tell of His works with songs of joy. And then it mentions others who went out on the sea in ships, who were merchants on the mighty waters. And I kind of picture this being a group of people who may be very self-sufficient. They know how to make money. They're out there and they've got it going on, and they're got these big ships, and they are and the mission in mind to go and sell and buy, and they're making things happen. They're seeing the works of the Lord, His wonderful deeds in the deep. And it says He spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves and mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. And in their peril, their courage melted away. Does that bring to mind a story in the New Testament where Jesus and all His disciples are there in the boat and the storm rages and the disciples say, "Jesus, how can you sleep? We're about to die." He says, "You have little faith." And he speaks out the peace that's in Him and releases it on the water and calms that. They're described as reeling and staggering like drunken men, as being at their wit's end. They don't know what they are going to do. And so they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. And He brought them out of their distress. And He does it there again. He stills the storm to a whisper. That's power. To take a storm and move it to almost silence. The waves of the sea were hushed. And they were glad. When it grew calm, He guided them to their desired haven. We're told to give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love. That even when we look to ourselves, even when we spend a whole lifetime of thinking that we can do it ourselves, that we can provide for ourselves, that we can make a way for ourselves, He allows us to experience humility. And come through for us, show Himself faithful once again. So we're told to give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love. So as we look at this passage, and we look at all the different ways that we can go about our lives and find ourselves in peril, in want, in need, in shame. In bondage, in addiction, all these different things. The Lord is revealing Himself to us that He is unmoved by that in terms of His love for us. It does not change. It's a constant. And if we're waiting for ourselves to feel like we deserve it, that's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. We're never going to be able to clean ourselves up or get to a point where, okay, now I can approach a holy God. Now I could come to Him and feel like I deserve His love. It's not about deserving. It's agape. It's unconditional. It's because of who He is. So, we come to Him when we realize that we're desperate. When we realize that He's our only hope. When we realize that we've been playing the wrong game. And what's really amazing is He gives us the dignity and fills us with the abundant life, allowing us to accomplish what Jesus accomplished. He puts His own Spirit in us. He gives us His righteousness and makes us a holy temple. And I want to wrap up just with this passage in Romans chapter 8. It's just a very familiar verse. Verse 28, And we know that in all things means all things. You guys studied this before. I heard about y'all studying Romans. We know that in all things, God works. God works for the good of those who love Him. Those who love Him are those who have put their faith in Him. They are believing on Him for our righteousness. Who are saying, "Lord, I'm submitted. This life that You've given me, I submit this for You to bring Yourself glory through it. In all of my struggles and all of my weaknesses, whatever You want to do with this, have Your way." God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. God is all about revealing how good He is. His mission is to bring Himself glory. Because is there anything else better for Him to be about than bringing Himself glory? So we can join Jesus, taking all the stuff and say, Lord, I am desperate for You. I am desperate for You to free me from my sin. And I believe that You have put your life on the cross and died for me and taken all of my sin. I trust that Your work was done. We can put all our faith on that and receive His righteousness. We can come to Him and say, Lord, I am stuck in my thinking because I am still seeing myself as if I've got to do something in order to be something. And I am just really struggling with this pressure to perform that I got from my mom and my dad growing up. And then there's that desperation of, Lord, I comforted myself with things that I could control, and I didn't look to You, and I'm stuck in this, and my body just knows how to do this, and I go to this over and over again, and I am stuck, Lord, and I call out to You in my distress. Would You save me? Would You rescue me from that? You have rescued my spirit, but now rescue my mind and my body and free me. Free me. Lord, this pain is overwhelming. This pain is overwhelming that I'm hurting from the rejection that I've felt. And I need You to free me from that. Or this affliction, this sickness, Lord, it's causing all my thoughts to be inward. That's what happens when we're in pain. We become self-consumed. Lord, free me from this pain that I might have my eyes lifted so that I might look to the needs of others and see You love others through me. When we pray that, He's going to come through. Why? Because His love is unfailing and because He is good. So let's give thanks to Him this morning. Let's pray together. Lord, we come to You today. We gathered because Jesus, You didn't just stay on that cross. You didn't stay in the grave. You were resurrected. And we have reason to have hope in You because You are the conqueror of death. And You are the conqueror of our death. And You are the conqueror of our sin. You're the conqueror of our weakness and our failure. You have overcome all those things for us. And You're ready to overcome all these things through us. So we come to You to tell You thanks and to acknowledge that, yes, Lord, You are good. You are good. You're always good. And we thank You that You have proven Your unfailing love to us over and over and over again. So we walk in faith this morning, Lord, that we haven't blown it to the point that we've lost Your love. That there's still hope for us. In whatever situation, whatever circumstances that we're in today, Lord, we want to come to You and to say, bring Yourself glory. Take all the stuff that I've been through, all the things that I've done, all the things that I'm struggling with even right now, take all that and use it somehow, Lord, to bring Yourself glory. Rescue us from our distress. Give us the life of Your Son and let Him be manifested in our lives to one another and to our communities, to the world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I think this morning, maybe Mike, we can do a song, and if there's something that you want to cry out to the Lord for this morning, be it to rescue you from your sin, if you've never done that, to say, Lord, I've not ever put my faith in what You've accomplished on the cross, and I want You to save me from myself and from my sin, come and do that. If there's